And we are back. You are listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. We are talking about pancreatic cancer tonight, and we're really excited that you're out there listening. We're excited in here because we've got folks here with information. We've got a cancer survivor. We've got Dr. Kuby. We've got who's a surgeon and a teacher, and I'll let you talk a little bit more about what you do. Sheila Cosgrove here. Sheila, let's just open up with you and your affiliation. Tell us a little bit more about the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network and what they do.
Great, thank you. Excuse me. The Pancreatic Cancer Action Network actually is really an organization that focuses on patients and their caregivers, and also is focused on obviously increasing the survival rate for pancreatic cancer in a number of different ways. One is obviously we want more research. As we know, there's no early detection methods, so we need more research in that regard, more research about early detection, more research about treatment. We also keep a really close eye on clinical trials and matching patients with clinical trials when it's appropriate for them.
Okay.
We also are in touch with doctors and practitioners who support and are delivering those best practices for pancreatic cancer patients. And then we also focus on public awareness and visibility to bring awareness to the disease, to bring awareness to some of those early signs of pancreatic cancer so people can, in some ways, keep an eye out for them and kind of keep that in the back of their mind if they have a higher risk factor, perhaps. And we also bring awareness and we raise money through events in the community. We have a signature event in November called Purple Stride, which is well established in a lot of different cities around the country. We had a great event in November that Tiona was able to join us at, and that has also helped to also create that awareness and also raise the money for research that we need. So that's the majority of how the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network brings hope to patients and
Excellent.
Is focusing on increasing those survival rates.
Sure. So you all know each other.
Yes, Tiona and I.
So how has that connection helped you? Because you also help and you go and speak and talk about your experience. How has connecting with that Action Network helped you thrive?
Right. I think that one of the things, cancer can actually be very lonely. Even when you have a lot of people around you and you know people love you and they want to do great things for you, it's incredibly lonely because at the end of the day, after you've come home from chemo or whatever the case is, it's, in my case, because I'm single, it was me by myself in my bed just kind of thinking about all the thousands of what ifs and everything that could go wrong. So having the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network and this local affiliate here really helped me to connect with other people. One of the great services that they have is to be able to connect with other survivors or other people who have been diagnosed. So that's a wonderful thing to be able to have as a cancer patient or survivor, because there are other people that are actually facing the same challenges. No matter how much I tell somebody what chemo's like or how bad I feel at the end of the day or how afraid I am or how unafraid I am, whatever the case is, nobody actually gets it unless they're living it at that point in time, or if they have lived it as a caregiver with somebody else, it's a very different connection. So Sheila and I connected pretty early on, I think. We got in touch with each other and we had done some other media-related things together, and she was wonderful because she had the experience of having been on the other side of it, and I think her sharing her experience gave me a different kind of perspective, which I needed. And that's one of the ways that you can, as a patient or a survivor, can really get involved and start connecting with other people who are also living kind of the same life that you are.
Yeah, it gave you perspective and hope.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so you felt like you were walking a lonely plank, but you weren't alone with that support. That's
right.
Awesome.
And they have all different types of platforms, like either through social media. Going to the Purple Stride Walk was an amazing experience because there were survivors there. There were caregivers there, just people from the community who came out, and to see this big sea of purple, everybody walking around in purple and out there for a common goal, really helps to bring on hope. Because, you know, as somebody at the time, the walk happened, I put off my surgery by about 4 days so that I could do the walk.
Excellent.
And it was the Saturday before I went into surgery. So to have almost like this cheerleading group around me was a remarkable experience.
Nice. Nice. Awesome. Thank you. Dr. Kuby, is there any correlation between obesity and pancreatic cancer?
So obesity and many cancers, there are more links that are being identified as we go along. Not hard, fast data specifically on that question. What we see is a strong association with smoking.
Sure.
That's probably, we say, risk factor number 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
a strong family history, because there are some genetic syndromes where pancreatic cancer is part of the syndrome, and those would be some of the breast ovarian cancer syndromes or something called Peutz-Jeghers, which is a colon cancer syndrome. And there are several others as well. So smoking, I would say, would be probably number one.
Okay.
The other one is new onset diabetes, which obviously a lot of people will become diabetic without pancreatic cancer. But if somebody notices some other symptoms, abdominal pain, or has a strong family history of pancreatic cancer, that should be brought to their healthcare provider, that maybe they go a little extra step on that.
Sure. Is there any data regarding African Americans and this specific cancer?
So I'm very fortunate to be part of a big research consortium, and we look at questions like that. And years ago, we could touch upon some of it, but now we have big databases that are available to start looking. So one is the National Cancer Database. This is through the National Cancer Institute. It is a captures 70% of all cancer diagnoses in the United States. And so one of the questions our group has looked at pretty extensively is pancreatic cancer. What we see is that pancreatic cancer in the African American community has probably a poorer success rate for treatment and outcome. We don't think it's because the tumors are different. We think access to care has been the biggest limitation. So identifying these issues allows us to start working on solutions.
Awesome. You mentioned jaundice earlier. Talk a little bit about that and how it might not show up.
Right. Because I'm sitting next to a friend who's gone through this experience and was treated in our group, which I'm very excited about our group, by the way. One plug for our group at Winship Cancer Institute. we really do a good job. This is not a single person event. This is a team. What are the signs of this disease? I think that's important. So we mentioned new onset diabetes. But one of the key signs or hallmarks that sets off alarm bells is somebody turns jaundice. And because we're here at this university and talking about in a center of education that has been primarily for African Americans over the years, one of the difficult things to notice is jaundice in folks with darker skin. Mm-hmm. It's the eyes may turn a little bit yellow, but the skin turns yellow, and that could be a sign that there is a problem. There are other things that cause jaundice, but if jaundice happens, that has to be looked at. That's something called obstructive jaundice, and what's happening there is the bile that's being made in the liver needs to get to the intestines through a tube called the bile duct. It passes right through the pancreas, and if there's a tumor in the pancreas, it can obstruct the flow of bile, and then bile builds up in the bloodstream and spills into the urine, and so urine turns very dark. Some will identify this as tea-colored urine. So urine turns dark, abdominal pain, jaundice, those should set some evaluation into motion. And the other thing that people will notice is that their stool actually gets quite light or clay-colored. Now, there are pancreas tumors that affect one end of the gland, the right side of the gland, or the left side of the gland. So tumors in the right side of the gland, in the head of the pancreas, are ones that are going to cause obstructive jaundice, whereas ones out in the body and tail or on the left side of the gland may not.
Interesting. If you're out there and you hear something that sounds familiar, something that might have happened to you or someone might have shared something with you, symptom, something that you could see as a potential risk, please give us a call. We've got the experts here who can help you. Our number is 404-880-9255, or you can tweet us at CCRTD. Tiana, what else have you done that you consider healthful, aside from everything else, exercise maybe?
I did. I stayed really active. Again, one of the things that kept me really active was my son is a football player, and we spent the summer doing 7-on-7s. So I was out taking pictures of the football team every single day, you know, that they had these tournaments. So I was doing a lot of walking. I did go to the gym, you know, fairly often, did very light workouts and things like that. I did seek chiropractic care. I had read that you know, that could be helpful, doing chiropractic care. I did massage after chemotherapy because chemotherapy really wears on the body. I mean, you know, again, very aggressive type of chemotherapy treatment that I was receiving. So when I would get out, I would be completely wiped out, aside from other side effects. And I would go, and my mom was really nice. She set up kind of like a little account for me to go get massage at Massage Envy. And I would kind of go there afterwards, and it would really just – it really kind of relaxed my body, and I think those things are really helpful. But overall, I think my attitude about cancer was that I was going to survive. And a friend of mine who had lived through cancer told me the very first day that I got diagnosed, she said, you need to decide on that day that you will survive and you will beat this. That is your goal, is to live. And once she told me that, I kind of had this attitude of, I'm going to survive this no matter what happens. I'm going to live through cancer. So everything that I did every single day was about surviving cancer. It was about making it through chemotherapy. It was about getting to the surgery, which was something initially on the table, or that wasn't on the table, I should say, when I initially went in to see Dr. Weiner at Winship. Surgery was not an option for me at the time. The tumor was much too large, and the operation probably would not have been successful. So we did chemotherapy treatment first, and it was very successful in treating the tumor. So I was very fortunate in that regard.
Nice. Sheila, your work with the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network, is there a particular story that was just kind of near and dear to you? Just one particular thing that just kind of, that's a jerker for you in your support volunteerism?
I think when I first became involved with the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network, when I was in New Jersey at the time, and I had attended Advocacy Day, which is something we do in June every year, a number of people descend on Capitol Hill. We are a sea of purple. And we are, for all intents and purposes, lobbying for more cancer research dollars from the federal government. So that was a huge eye-opener for me. And I met a gentleman there who actually is now the advocacy chair for the Northern New Jersey affiliate of the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network, named Michael Weinstein. He is a 10-year pancreatic cancer survivor.
Wow.
And he was, like Tiona is, an absolute force of nature. So just being around him and how positive he was about how he was going to thrive in despite his diagnosis and despite the unfortunate kind of longer term outcome for some pancreatic cancer patients, that was not going to be him in many ways that we're talking tonight. And he's been quite an inspiration over the years, and I think that was really. You know, my experience with the disease up to that point had not been ideal, of course, in losing my dad. But he was really the first survivor that I had met and really got connected with. So he was a great inspiration to me to get involved and get more involved and spend more time volunteering so that we have less and less patients and their families and caregivers that have to go through this in the future.
Nice. Nice. I know, Dr. Kuby, you mentioned, and we know as African Americans that sometimes it's hard to get people, to get us to see disease, almost any disease. But I appreciate that you mentioned that a lot of times it's access to care. And I think that's been kind of proven and shown over and over again. And there's some folks who are actually going out into the neighborhoods to help, you know, mobily and things like that. Tiana, is there something that you would say to your African-American sisters out there and brothers out there who are seeing signs and symptoms, but that fear. And I know that firsthand, just about the fear of not wanting to, as my mother would say, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
I think that is one thing. The cultural aspects of having any type of illness, whether it's cancer, mental illness, whatever it happens to be within the Black community, is a very difficult challenge because we are kind of raised with that. You have to be tough. You have to be strong. You know, just shake it off, pray about it, and it'll all be okay. And in my case, even, I almost didn't go have that initial CAT scan. I was busy. I'm a single mom. I did not want to take off from work because it was just too much of a commitment for me to do that. I was very fortunate that when I went and got the CAT scan, it fell over spring break. So I was off that day. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone. And I almost didn't go. Had I not have gone at the prompting of my mother and a really good friend at work, I probably wouldn't be, I don't know that I would be sitting here today. My outcome could have been very different if I had not taken the time to put my health first and not think about things like it was $2,000 to go get a CAT scan that I had to pay out of pocket, even with insurance. So I think when Dr. Kuby is talking about access, those are some of the very real factors that can be limiting for anybody, but in particular within the Black community, is having access to not only the resources that we need, but to the information that we need, to knowing what's out there, what impacts our health, and what types of things that we need to be aware of so that we can get treatment, so that we can seek the type of health care that we need, so we can have better outcomes within our community.
Nice. Better outcomes indeed. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come back and take your calls live. You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK.
Is your annual inspection past due? Regular checkups by your doctor are the key to finding health problems early. 1 in 6 men will get prostate cancer. If you have a father or a brother who has had it, your chances of getting the disease are even greater. If you are a man over the age of 50, schedule your appointment today. Discuss whether testing for prostate cancer is right for you. This message is brought to you by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University and WCLK.